Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Yep, 816. I've been looking forward to this because he, I think, kept a lot of us sane throughout the Katrina recovery. I think it cost him a lot. We welcome in Chris Rose, a former writer for the Times, speaking to you, and author of One Dead in the Attic. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
Thanks for taking the time with us. I don't even know where to start. I know you say you're no hero, but I think you are. And I think you gave voice to a traumatized city, and you eloquently put into words what all of us were feeling. If WWL was a voice, you were certainly the scribe that just, I think, served as therapy for all of us who were suffering and still do, perhaps, PTSD. So I got to start with, how are you doing?
That's a hard one to follow up. I'm doing fine, personally. I'm doing good. I'm living a good life right now, and I'm one of the lucky ones, I guess, in the long run. You know, I guess it's odd to say, but natural disaster is a great career move for somebody in my line of work back then. So it elevated us. I don't know that I.
Well,
was,
but that's not what you said early on, because early on in your columns you said that it's completely different, right? And I'm going back to One Dead in the Attic. It's completely different when it's your own hometown, right?
Oh, right. Absolutely. We were not. We weren't just writing stories as news dropping into somebody else's community. We were fighting for our own lives and our own jobs at that point. So objectivity, I think, sort of went out the door, and we turned into advocacy journalism. I feel very proud and honored to have been part of the team at the Times-Picayune 20 years ago. You know, that was an interesting time. A lot of institutions and individuals either showed their best moments or their worst, and I was really proud to be part of the newspaper to step up and be such a vital part of the community for such a long time.
I think what made your columns so memorable and so effective, and again, I'm going back to One Dead in the Attic, which is a collection of those columns, is that, man, you put your finger on the pulse of what everybody was feeling and everything that was going on, but you expressed it so eloquently. How hard was it for you to do while you're sitting around without a shirt on, you're stinking up the place, and I'm just, you know, kind of paraphrasing some of the things you wrote here. How hard was that for you to do with your family in Maryland, I think, right?
Right. My family was up here with my parents, who were also little heroes at that time for taking in my brood. You know, I'll tell you, for the first many months, it wasn't that difficult because it was all still shock and trauma at that point. I think we were almost like, I felt like an automaton just cranking out the stuff as it happened. It was such, there was no time really to slow down and take stock of what was happening because it was changing so fast every day. It was months later, you know, well into 2006, when I think people really began to feel the slog, and when everybody realized that this was going to take a long time, and a lot of people were not going to come out on the positive side of it.
Let me take a quick break, Chris. We'll pick it up. We come back. I'm going to ask you what your most memorable column is. I got to tell you a couple of my favorites, and I'll also ask you this. It seems as though after the Chocolate City comments, you really, for whatever reason, that spurred the comedic muse in you, because Lunch with Kafka, who else could write that and have it hit so hard, as well as Tutti Frutti, which was just a stroke of genius. We're talking to Chris Rose, author of One Dead in the Attic. He's got a letter, I guess, that was posted at NOLA.com yesterday, Chris, or today?
I think it went online yesterday, as I understand. It's in the printed paper today, but I'm not sure.
Because I read it yesterday, and I was just wondering about the difference. Chris Rose, when we come back, you got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. 820, we are live here at the Presbyter, WWL, continuing our week-long remembrance of Katrina. Right now, time for traffic on WWL. 8:25, quickly back to Chris Rose, former writer for the Times-Picayune, author of One Dead in the Attic. Chris, I can sum up all the texts, and I'm getting dozens upon dozens of them that say, thank you, Chris, you held us up in a hard time. Chris Rose, we love you. Do you have any idea how much you meant to the city?
I do. I do, and I've certainly been reminded of it these past couple weeks when Keith Spira and the newspaper wrote a story about my current life.
Yeah. And to be clear, you're not dead, right, Chris?
I am not dead yet. The best used by stamp on the back of my neck has expired, but I'm still cooking.
Good.
It's
well, only the good die young, Chris, so you'll be around for a while, right?
Yeah. And the idea of leaving a pretty corpse is pretty much...
That's over with, huh? So, yeah, right there with you, my friend.
I cannot tell you. New Orleans is a town that that loves hard and forgives fast. It's overwhelming the way the city has reacted to me and treated me. I am impossibly grateful for
Chris, I want to say this. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say this to your ear. Because I said it about you yesterday, and I would never say anything about anybody behind their back, but I think you are an artist as much as Van Gogh was with your words. I think you're a poet. The way you string words together, the way you write is magical. But along those lines, I think Van Gogh, trying to express his vision of the world, kind of drove him crazy. And I think maybe you're trying to express what was going on in New Orleans to everybody else may have kind of drove you a little bit crazy. Thoughts?
That's probably an accurate reading on it. What happened so very often was when people would stop me and say, you are saying exactly the same things that I am thinking. And I would usually tell them, well, then I would recommend you seek professional help if we're thinking the same things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Katrina broke me, but it certainly set life on a rocky road. I'm proud of what I did, and like I said, I'm mostly just grateful. New Orleans treated me great then, and still continues to send the love to me, and for that, I feel like I'm really lucky. The day I took a job at the Times-Picayune in 1984, and it set that trajectory happening.
I did notice a change. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I'm looking at the clock here, Chris. I did notice a change maybe in tone after the Chocolate City speech, because you really turned on the comedy. Was that the way you felt?
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
About it? I mean, it was sarcastic, but it was funny as hell.
Well, I think my natural disposition, my constitution is one of sarcasm. I've been a wise ass all my life, and so all that did was once you tempered that with my anger, it sort of came out easy. I think that's always been a natural reaction for me to deal with anything, almost with humor and sarcasm.
You know, I got to ask you, with the book, why didn't you put them in chronological order? Was there a method or a madness to that?
Yeah, I think that was sort of a game day decision. I just thought putting it in groupings that sort of made sense would work. Put all the political ones together, all the funny ones in one place. I don't know. I've been told that didn't work, but
I disagree. I disagree, and I got to tell you, Tutti Frutti was one of my favorites. How you strung all that together, given what you were under, I don't know. Do you have a favorite or not?
Well, what I hear about a lot is the Naked Barbie story, and that's for anyone who doesn't know what it is. My kids had asked me, I was going up to visit them several weeks, maybe months into it all, and I asked them what they needed from home, and Barbies seemed to be the consensus, and I... tried to gather all the stuff, but anyone who's had a lot of kids and Barbies in their house knows they're usually in a state of undress and usually missing a few limbs. So I just grabbed a lot of pieces and parts and scattered clothing and put them in a little carry-on bag. And, it didn't strike me as really weird until I got to the airport. Suddenly I felt like I was trying to sneak 4 kilos of cocaine onto the airplane. And if you ask me how did the TSA respond to it, I don't know, because I stopped making eye contact with anybody at that point. I don't know if the x-rays go through the plastic or not. But if I had to pick one, it would be that Dear America story I think I wrote. You running out of time?
Yeah, I am. I can't thank you enough, man. Look, I hope you come back sometime, really. I could spend hours talking to you. As a New Orleanian, I want to thank you for keeping me sane, and I know I speak for the city when I say that. My friend, you are a true hero. God bless you, all right?
I appreciate it. New Orleans, I love you.
Hey, look, real quick, Chris, I will re-record that book on Audible for free so I don't have Bronson Pinchot saying Chupatulus, Chalmet, and there was one other one. What was it? Matari. So let me know if I can do that for you, okay?
You opened a can of words there, Tommy.
I'll do it for free. For free. I'll do it for free, Chris. Just hook me up, all right?
I offered to do it myself.
Because let me tell you, the words that I read, and then I got the Audible book, and then I bought the print copy, because, you know, a brother needs to help a brother, right? When I heard Bronson, God bless his soul, reading those words, it's like, that's not what I heard in my head when I was reading it. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Take it easy. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. WWL.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.